shower, just sitting here in my hand, nice and relaxed. And so, you know, I'm sure most of you have one or two of these laying around your house somewhere. But a rubber band really isn't any good until it is what? Stretched. You put it around something, and it, as it stretches, it now fulfills its purpose. You can have a lot of fun with rubber bands, right, young people? You sure can. A lot of fun with them. But again, when you think about the rubber band that is made to stretch, God has made each and every one of us to stretch. I don't mean physically, although it probably wouldn't hurt all of us to stretch. My son-in-law recently introduced me to a site on the internet to just learn how to stretch, because your pastor, in all seriousness, I cannot bend over and touch my toes. Say, well, what's the big deal? Well, for one, I should be able to do that. Some of you are older than me, and you could show me. You could bend right over, and you could stretch, and now you may not get back up, but you could stretch, and you could hit your toes, right? Sure. But God has made us to stretch, and today we're looking at this matter of stretching our faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we want to look this morning at a man in Exodus chapter 3. We want to look at the life of Moses and how that he is an example of a man who had his faith stretched. And so in Exodus chapter 3 in your Bibles, we want to look here this morning, beginning at verse number 7, in the context of Moses' calling and God directing in his life. And we want to notice this. And I want you to consider this morning this matter of, is God stretching my faith, and am I being willing to have my faith stretched? We notice here in this context, in the life of Moses, that it says in verse number 7, the Lord is speaking here. Moses has just encountered the Lord. He's just encountered God, if you would, in the first 6 verses of this passage, at that burning bush experience. What a miracle that was, but God made himself known to Moses in that situation. And now God is speaking to him, and he says in verse number 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so what I want you to see, first of all, this morning is this, is that Moses' faith was stretched by being asked to go back to Egypt to face his past. What happened in Egypt? Well, you'll find that he had killed an Egyptian. You read of this in chapter 2. This was like one of the last events in the life of Moses in Egypt. And so now God is calling him to go back to Egypt. This is God's direction. And God's direction at times is uncomfortable. He was to go back to Egypt, the place that he fled from. He was to go back and to face Pharaoh, who was unlike the previous Pharaoh. This Pharaoh was very cruel to the children of Israel. That's why here, as I just read in verse number 7, that their cry had come up into the ears of God. God had heard their cry, and God was about ready to do something and move and intervene on their behalf. And so it was a difficult time in the land of Egypt, particularly for the children of Israel. But we find that Moses was to go back and face Pharaoh. He was to go back to the place whereby he gave up his royal status. If you recall that he had given up the riches of Egypt, the fame of Egypt, to suffer affliction with the people of God. So now he is going back to Egypt. And just as God directed Moses to do that which was uncomfortable for him to do, so likewise, God will lead us to do things out of our comfort zone. You know, they talk about in the NFL what is called the red zone. And that means that the offense has got the ball in the red zone, 20 yards to go and score. That's where they want to get to. And sometimes in our life, God will lead us to do things that are out of our comfort zone. I think the older you get, the less you like change. Would you say that? You like things this way. You get up at a certain time and you like to eat certain foods and you wear certain clothes, and that's just the way it is. And then when anything seems to get out of whack for you, it leads you into an area of discomfort. And spiritually speaking, may I say that God is more interested in our obedience than he is in our comfort. God was clearly directing Moses, go back to Egypt. I'm going to deliver the children of Israel. And we find that this was God's clear direction for him. And I wish that we could have stopped right at verse number 10 and talked about the fact that Moses did as God said and went and obeyed God and so forth. But we find that that is not the case, because now we see in this same chapter the reluctance of Moses to do what God had called him to do. He is really struggling. He's really reluctant. Reluctant, I think, is a very soft word. He's just really struggling with this. Because one, he doesn't want to go back to Egypt. He doesn't want to go back and face Pharaoh again. He doesn't want to do any of this. And so we find in verse number 11 the response of Moses. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Have you ever said that to God? When God was clearly directing in your life, or he may be clearly directing in your life, and you might respond that same way, where you just have a sense of inadequacy. Who am I? I mean, surely there's someone else that's more educated or more gifted to do this. And here Moses is just struggling, and we find in verse number 13, he says this. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And then God says, "I am that I am." That's what you say. But Moses, again, expressing reluctance. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Now look again at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Lord, I can't even speak clearly. I get tongue-tied." Look now at verse 13. And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Send somebody else, but don't send me. Thus, look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I mean, it's like, how much more are you going to say about this, Moses? I've called you, I've equipped you, you are the man, you're the leader I have raised up to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. All you have done at this point is offer up reluctance, excuses, send someone else. No, Moses, I clearly am calling you, I am clearly leading you. And Moses' faith was stretched by being asked to go back to Egypt. And we find that he does obey. And may I say, church family, this morning, that it takes faith to obey. It takes faith to obey God. We ought to express faith in God and toward God by simply saying, whatever he said unto me, I'm going to do it. I love that phrase when Mary and Jesus was about ready to turn the water into wine, but she had told the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And may I say that is a good rule for us as God's people to live by, that whatever God has said to me in his word, I'm going to obey it. I want to be a doer of the word and not a reader only, not a hearer only. I want to be a doer of the word. And it takes faith to obey. Faith, someone has said, does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. A lot of truth in that statement. Now, in this context, Moses represents all of us. He does. Where God gives us direction and then we offer up reasons or excuses why we can't obey. You would be, well, maybe you wouldn't be, but you would be surprised by the excuses I hear why people don't go to church. I mean, I don't know that I've heard it all, but I have heard so many, many excuses why people can't go to church. Or the excuses I've heard why people just simply can't obey God in any given area of their life. You see, it does take faith to obey, and Moses finally steps out in faith and he obeys God and he does what God called him to do. But sometimes, church, God is going to stretch your faith. And when he does, you need to lean into it. You need to say, all right, Lord, I don't necessarily see how all of this is going to work out, but I am yours and I want to obey you. And so Moses' faith was stretched, first of all, by God to go back to Egypt and face his past. But notice, secondly, in the context this morning, if you would, that Moses' faith was stretched when he was faced with opposition. Look in chapter 5 now. Chapter 5, and come with me to verse number 1 and verse number 2. We see his first opposition comes by the way of Pharaoh. Look at this now, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. By the way, As I read that verse to you, what I didn't read to you, what was said earlier about all of this, is that Moses, yes, I'm going to send you down to Pharaoh, and guess what, Moses? Pharaoh isn't going to listen to you. How many of you would sign up for that right away? It's like, wow, God, you've already set me up for defeat. You want me to go confront this man? You're already telling me that his heart is going to get harder and harder and harder, and he's not going to listen? That's right, but that's what I want you to do. How many of you believe God's ways are best? They are. His way's perfect. His way is always best. His way is always perfect. And so now in verse number 1, he stands before Pharaoh and he says, here's what God says, let my people go. Verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, which is a true statement. Neither will I let Israel go. Not only would he not let them go, but if you'll read the next few verses, you will find that he begins to make it very, very difficult upon the children of Israel. He takes some things away from them to make their job even harder. It's like Pharaoh is saying, I'll show you, I'll increase their workload. I'll make it more difficult for them. And so Moses' faith is being stretched when he had to face the opposition of Pharaoh. But then you'll find that he also had to face the opposition by the people that he was called to lead. Now you got to remember that they've already been in Egypt for 430 years. And so when you think about what they say in verse number 20, it makes a little bit of sense. But notice with me, if you would, now verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, that is, the people of Israel, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. What are they saying? We don't want you here, Moses and Aaron. And we don't want this. Really? You want to stay in Egypt? You want to continue to be under this oppressive ruler? You want to continue to go through this oppressive kind of work? You really want to stay here? And so Moses had to experience some opposition by the people he was getting ready to lead out of the land of Egypt. But church, Moses didn't give up, but he continued to push forward by faith. Moses leaned on his faith, knowing that God would come through. May I say, sometimes in our life that there are things that will come into our lives where that's all we can do, is that we've got to lean on our faith, knowing that God will come through. We don't know how he will come through. We don't know when he will come through, but we believe with all of our hearts that God will come through. And Moses here was leaning on this faith, because you go through chapter 5 and chapter 6 and you have the plagues and so forth, and the heart of Pharaoh is just getting harder and harder and harder. But in all of that process, God also was showing himself strong on behalf of the children of Israel, because those plagues that would touch Pharaoh and his people, for instance, when there was darkness, there was light for God's people. See, God was already showing the children of Israel that I am with Moses and Aaron. I am with you. I am about ready to deliver you out of the land of Egypt. Just be patient, but lean on me. And Moses and Aaron were to lean on their faith, knowing that God would come through. And how many times when we have faced opposition that we have retreated instead of pushing forward with faith in God? Over and over and over throughout Scripture, Moses is just one of many examples in the Scriptures that stand out as people who, when God directed them, God led them, they then faced opposition, but they had to just move forward on faith and trust God to bring them through. We recently looked at the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah knew that God was leading him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, he did accomplish that, but it wasn't without opposition, because he had Sanballat and Tobiah who were just bent on stopping Nehemiah from that project. One time they wanted to have a summit with him, and he said, there's no way I'm going to leave the work of God and come down to you. The work of God deserves my utmost attention, and I'm going to stay at it. And he did. The wall was built in 52 days. But it wasn't without its opposition. And sometimes in our life, in fact, many times in our life, when we stand out and say, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live by faith, we may face some opposition. Just as I taught this last Wednesday night, if it's not from people, it will be from Satan, because he'll throw his fiery darts at us. He wants to defeat us. He wants to devour us. So you're going to face opposition, but you have to stand strong in faith. Not faith in yourself, but faith in God. And we find here that Moses, his faith was just being stretched when he faced the opposition. Notice then in chapter 32. Chapter 32 now of Exodus, we find a sad account of the children of Israel. But it was also another time for Moses to have his faith stretched. Which is what I want you to see thirdly this morning, is that Moses' faith was stretched when the people he was sent to lead, and at this point he's already led them now out of the land of Egypt. But not very far into all of this, they experienced faithlessness. But Moses' faith was stretched when the people he was sent to are not trusting God. Look now in chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods. What had they already been taught? Thou shalt have no other god before me. And now they are saying, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot or know not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, look at this sad statement. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. That was a bold-faced lie. The true and living God brought them up out of the land of Egypt. But now this molten calf, this golden calf that they had created, we find that they said, These be thy gods. Look at verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Oh, Aaron, you are so misguided. You know better, Aaron. These is not the gods of Israel. There is only one true and living God, and tomorrow will not be a feast to the Lord. He was so misguided here. Now you'll recall in the context that here in verses 1 through 4, that this is their faithless action. At this point, I could almost hear Moses thinking and saying, that he was tempted to say, forget these people. They're nothing but a bunch of losers and whiners. Now, he didn't say that. But I wonder if maybe he thought that. Well, we don't really have to think too much maybe about what he thought. Look in verse number 9 now. Moses' response to all of this. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. What's God saying? Moses, you may have thought that, but here's what I'm saying. I'm ready to wipe these people out. Whew. That's strong language, is it not? For God to say, I'm ready to consume them, I'm ready to devour them, I'm ready to do away with them. They've done nothing but complain against me. They've complained about my leadership. They've complained about how I've provided for them. They complained about the manna from heaven. They complain about this. They complain about that. And here Moses is hearing from God, here's what I'm about to do. I'm about ready to just wipe them out. What's Moses say? Look at verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why would you even think about doing this, God? So what is Moses doing? He's interceding on behalf of the children of Israel. He knows God is angry. He knows what God has said. I'm ready to consume them and make of thee a great nation. But you know, if God had done that, there would be some other invalid promises that he had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. But God's promises are yea and amen. And we find here that Moses, here in verse number 11, asked God, why would you even think about that? Look at verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. So Moses is now interceding, and he's saying, Lord, remember what you have said to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember those promises you made and how you said, I will multiply your seed. Lord, turn from your fierce wrath. Because he was about ready to do it. In fact, you will find later in this context that Moses says in verse 32, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now we believe consistently through the word of God, once you know the Lord as your Savior, you are forever saved. But Moses, in some respects, is identifying himself with the Apostle Paul, whom neither one knew each other, but the point is, Paul even said, if it be possible, blot me out of thy book. If it be possible, let me be cut off. Now, it's not possible, but both of these men are so burdened for the people that they were leading. Was Moses aware of their faithless action? He sure was. But he was not ready for the people of God to be obliterated or to be wiped out by God. Let me say this. It can be so frustrating to live a life of faith, do what God has directed you to do, and then come up against people that won't put trust or put their faith in the Lord. And we need to be like Moses and press on in faith in God. And here in this context, Moses' response, he just says, Lord, please don't do this. Turn. What was the Lord's response? We find in verse 14, the Bible says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So the Lord did not exercise his wrath against the children of Israel. We find in the context that Moses' faith was stretched when the people he was sent to were not trusting God. And sometimes in our life, we need to, again, akin to my second point this morning, when we are up against the opposition, when we are up against the difficulties, we need to be like Moses and press on in faith. Now let me give you three points of application as I close this morning. First of all, remember this great truth. It's a Bible truth. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, he says, it is impossible to please God. Church family, how are we saved? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then coupled with that is a verse from Colossians. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so walk ye in him. In other words, as I have received him by faith, I am to continue to live my life by faith. One of the thoughts that I've been thinking about this week in relationship to just my own life, because you see, I try to, as I study the Word of God, also make application in my own life. One of the questions I asked myself was this: how much of my own life do I live by sight rather than by faith? For we walk by faith, not by sight. But many a Christian lives their life like the people in the state of Missouri, the show me state. You show me, I'll believe. But how many times has God said, follow me, trust me? That's where faith comes in. And we find that we then, as God's people, need to understand that faith is an important part of who we are as Christians. And we need to grow in this area. I need to grow in faith. How about you? I need to continue to just grow in faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. God may be directing you. It may not be a practice in your life right now, but God has been directing in your heart to begin to tithe. And your rational mind says this: I can't afford to do that. But God says, I didn't ask you to do it if you could afford to do it. I ask you to do it. Now my faith comes in and says this: I will obey God. I will do what he says. Those of us this morning who do practice tithing in our life, we know, if you would, and I want to be careful here, but we do know of the benefit of obeying God in that area. That God hasn't made us rich because we tithe, but God has fulfilled his promise, which is this: that I will take care of you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I only lift that up. It may be this morning in your life, God has been laying his thumb, quote unquote, upon you and saying, you know you've been saved, but now the next step for you is to take the step of baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't wash away your sin. But it is a step of obedience. That's your next step of faith, to say, I'm going to obey God there. I'm going to step out and I'm just going to do it. It takes faith to obey God. Faith is such an integral part of our life as Christians. But I ask you, do you find yourself living more by sight or by faith? The second point is this: every time Moses faced something he needed to lean on God for, it stretched his faith. It stretched his faith. And that is the way it is to be with us. This is what God is calling us to do. That every time we face something that seems maybe insurmountable, he's saying, trust me, lean on my promises. I love that song, don't you? It's an old hymn, but leaning on the everlasting arms and standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. I'm standing on the promises. What a place to stand. You want to know why it's a great place to stand? Because it comes from one who never breaks his promise. Amen? God never breaks a promise. Never. He would then cease to be God if he did. Because the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He keeps his promise. Stand on those promises. Then I want you to notice this morning. This third, it's really more in the form of a question that I want to ask you. Do you trust the Lord enough? And are you willing to obey what he's asked you to do to step out in faith? Moses, boy, he was reluctant. You might be like him this morning. You might be doing a wrestling match with God. You might be saying, God, I can't do this because of this, and I can't do that because of this. God has an answer for every one of those I can'ts. He did for Moses. And whatever you throw up to God, and he's saying, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to obey me. But God. God is so patient with us. He is so patient with us. How many of you really realize that the best thing to do is to just obey God? Right out of the chute, just obey him. I wish, like I said, in the life of Moses, that's what we would have read this morning, that Moses heard what God said, I'm going to use you, go lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Okay, God, here we go. Well, he had to go through this process of just arguing with God, being reluctant. So this morning, will you just trust the Lord enough and just obey him and step out in faith? I don't know what it is that God is leading you to do, but whatever it is, trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you may be here this morning as one who has, says, Pastor, I have faith, but my faith is weak. I think the great prayer to pray in that response is this: Lord, increase my faith. I want to believe you. I want to trust you. I want to step out and obey you. Increase my faith, Lord. And he will. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. As we think about this matter of stretching our faith, would there be those here this morning who'd say, Pastor, in my life, I realize that faith is an integral part of my Christianity, but I need to grow in this area. I really do. I'm weak in this area. I need to grow up in this area. If that's your need this morning, would you lift your hand up, rub your hand, say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I sure need to grow in faith. I need to grow up in this area in my life. I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who would say, Pastor, God has been leading me to do some things in my walk with him and living for him. Now, would that you remember me in prayer that I will stop being reluctant like Moses and just step out in faith and follow God, do what he's called me to do. I want to, if you would, surrender. I want to let him have his way in my life. And I just want to begin to obey him and step out in faith and obey him. That's where I'm at this morning. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. I would just have faith and obey God. Yes, sir. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Someone else this morning. You know what God's dealing in your heart about. You know what God is directing you to do. But you're reluctant. Hey, I can identify with that. I can identify with Moses, and so can you. But are there others this morning who say, Pastor, remember me in prayer that I will just step out in faith and just begin to do what God has called me to do? Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else while we wait? In just a moment, we'll stand together. And as we do, God been dealing in your heart about any matter, then I'm going to encourage you to step out. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. If you can't kneel, but you can sit in this front row. But come this morning and say, Lord, help me to be full of faith. Full of faith. My faith is weak, but help me to grow in faith. Help me to trust you. Help me to obey you. Help me to follow you. God will strengthen you. Won't you respond this morning? Now, Father, I commit the balance of this invitation to you. You've seen the hands of these who just need help in this area of faith this morning. Help them. Strengthen them. Our faith overcomes the world, so help us to grow in this area. In Jesus' name I pray.